We are continuing to talk about disciples, being and making disciples. And we're going to look today at the importance of being relationally healthy as a disciple, but also so that we can disciple others. And I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, Jesus, of course, but about being a friend and having friends. I met a new friend today. It was good to meet you today. I'm glad you're with us. That is the beginning of a friendship, I hope, that we will begin to culminate into something more, okay? And so today, we're going to look at friendship. How many of you have friends? All right, well, that's good. It's good to have friends. I don't know if you know that or not, but it is good to have friends. And it's good to have some good friends. I've had some bad friends. Those aren't so good. I'm just going to tell you, those aren't so good. And we're going to look at some scriptures and some things today. But as always, we're going to start with our verse that you guys should have memorized by now, right? And then he said to the crowd, and you can say it with me, if any of you wants to be my follower, my disciple, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, you know how much I've told you that's not easy. I like my own way. But Jesus says that if we're going to be his disciple, if we're going to be his follower, we give up our own way, don't we? And then the other verse that this week Carol and I and also Riley and Samantha had the opportunity to go to our annual conference. And the topic this week or this year was on making disciples. So that was pretty cool. And every speaker, all 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 of them that we listened to, used this. And it's Matthew 28, and it says, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. All right, did you hear what he said? Go. He said go, didn't he? He didn't say come. Have people come to you. He said, go make disciples. And he says, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I will see you at some point. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that I will see you at some point. He says, I am with you always. How many of you have had a time this week that you weren't sure that he was with you always? I think we have those moments, but it says, I am with you always and even to the end of the age. So we're looking at this idea of friendship. And if you look it up in the dictionary, this is what you get. Friendship is a reciprocal relationship characterized by intimacy, faithfulness, trust, unmotivated kindness, and service. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's the kind of friend we want, isn't it? And it says, as I began to look in the Bible what the definition for friend or friendship in the Bible was, do you know what I found? It was lots of verbs. Isn't that interesting? It was lots of actions, okay? And it would characterize friends by the actions that were going on. And so it was easier to see what it looked like in the working out of it than just by saying a sentence or two. And we know by watching Jesus that friendship was important to our Lord and Savior. And what was he often called? A friend of sinners, wasn't he? How many of you here are sinners? I am a sinner. I have been saved by grace. I know most of you, and you've been saved by grace, but we're still sinners. But we have been covered by the blood of Jesus, praise God. That's exciting. And maybe my favorite verse And, you know, sometimes when you begin to talk about being a friend of God, people kind of, they almost cringe a little bit, like, can you really be a friend of God? Yeah, you can. He's still holy. He's still awesome. He's still in that awe thing. But we can be his friend. This is what Jesus said about his disciples. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. And this is Jesus. But I have called you what? Friends. I love that. Jesus calls me his friend. He says, for all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. When I was growing up, I moved all the time. I think Carol and I were counting it up one time, and I think that in my 12 years of schooling, I lived in a time where, you know, kindergarten was hit and miss, right? But in my 12 years of schooling, I went to 9 different school districts, okay? I was always the new kid. I was always the new kid. Now, the only friends I had as I was growing up were my siblings. There were 4 of us, and we knew how to fight, and we knew how to play, and we knew how to have a good time. But always moving, I was the new kid. And do you know that it takes time to fit in? It takes time. It takes time to not feel like the oddball. Some of you are still feeling like oddballs. I don't know. But it takes time. And I didn't know how to relate. I didn't know how to be a friend because I had never learned how to work through that process and to become a friend. And so as I began to get older, as I began to look at Scripture, as when I was about 14, 15, 16, and I began to look in Scripture, and I began to see that we are friends, that God can be our friend, that Jesus is our friend, I began to see that I needed to do something different. And so God began to change me. Now, the way he changed me, I was pretty quiet and reserved, believe it or not, when I was younger. And the way, when the Spirit of God came upon me in the early 70s and stuff, I got kind of loud and boisterous. Right, babe? And obnoxious, really. And so the Lord had to change that too. But what I'm trying to say is God wants us to be his friend. He wants us to relate to him. Because God is a personal and relational person. Did you know that? I mean, if we look at God, I mean, he even lives in perfect harmony with the Trinity. I mean, there's 3 of them all in there, right? And he lives in perfect harmony and oneness. He relates. God's the very definition of being relationally healthy. And he wants us to be healthy as friends. As we look at Scripture, and I find this fascinating, that from the very beginning, God's whole plan, whole desire for mankind was to be a friend. Can you imagine being in the most perfect place there is, in the Garden of Eden, and it says that God comes and walks with them in the cool of the day? Can you imagine that? To me, that is a, you know, that would be so cool. I've had moments where I had a vision one time where the Lord, where Jesus came and picked me up and he put me in the arms of the Father. And I remember what that felt like in that vision. Well, imagine just walking with God all the time. And that's what they did in those early stages, because our God is a relational God. And in His Word, in the Bible, from the very beginning until the end, He's talking about how we relate to Him and how He relates to us and how we're supposed to relate to other Christians and how we're supposed to relate to the world and how we're supposed to relate to our siblings and how we're supposed to relate to our parents and how we're supposed to relate to our government. It's all in there, guys. And even how do we relate to our enemies? Jesus flipped it on end when He said, love your enemies. How many of you love to love your enemies? Good on you. Good on you. Good on you. Because that's Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can help us love our enemies. But see, that's what, from beginning to end, this book is about. And God says, and I think it's amazing how when we become friends with people, there's an open doorway that God begins so that we can speak the name of Jesus. See, Jesus carried out the heroic act of restoring us as friends. That's what He did on the cross. He made it possible for there to be a way for Jesus and me to be buds again. See, God created us for fellowship with Him and others. The enemy, He said, hey, do you want to be more like God or do you want to be God? And it was at that point that selfishness began to enter into that relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. And this led to separation and to loneliness. One of the marks of Christian maturity is found in the nature and health of our relationships at all levels and in all of our relationships. God wants us to reach out to people. God wants us to be friends. Now, are there good friends and bad friends? Sure, we're going to look at some scriptures here in a little bit. But God wants us to be relationally healthy. Jesus made this statement in Matthew. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Don't you like the way Jesus talks? He says, this is the greatest commandment. But however, here's another one that's equally important. And He says, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. From the beginning of time, God is calling us to love Him and love each other. As we look at being friends, there are various kinds of friends. There are some friends that we have that are very, very casual. There are some friends that we have because we work with them. There are friends that we have that would die for us. There's all kinds of friends. But let's look at this. Proverbs 18:24 says that there are friends who destroy each other. How many of you want those kind of friends? I don't think I do. But a real friend sticks closer than a brother. I have some friends that stick a lot closer to me than my brothers. A true friend is one you can count on, depend on, no matter what the circumstances. And you know what? Those are hard to find, but what a blessing from God they are when you find them. Casual friends may not always be there for you. First sign of trouble, they run. The depth and quality of our friendships are proportionate to what we invest in them. Do you know that if you want to have friends, you got to be a friend? I've known people in my life, and they've talked about how unfriendly areas are, or churches are, or neighborhoods are, and they can't make any friends. And I've said, well, do you try to make friends? And the answer was, no. See, it's going to cost us something to be friends, to have friends. And the kinds of friends we have are indicative of the kind of friend that we are. There's a saying that we reproduce after our own kind. If you're a good friend, you're going to have good friends. And friendships bring tons of benefits. But they always cost you something. This week, I needed help with something. And I called up a friend, and we were planning on getting together anyway. And so he's saying, well, could you meet me here or whatever? And I said, okay. I said, is there any way that you being my friend, we could borrow your truck and do something together with that truck? He said, yeah, of course. That's a good friend. That's a great friend. I wasn't taking advantage of him. I was just calling on our friendship, you know, because he's done the same thing to me because he knows he can, all right? We want to learn how to be a good friend. If we can be a good friend, I believe that we can be good disciples and we can make disciples. Because the world is looking for people who they can be friends with. Another way to foster friendships is through honesty. The wise man says this about friendship: wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. What does that mean? Well, that means that sometimes my best friends speak into my life in ways that I don't like to hear. But they do it in a way that brings life and not death. Sometimes it will hurt. Sometimes speaking truth to somebody, speaking truth to a friend may hurt, but a true friend doesn't allow it to kill you. They walk with it, with you through it. And then there's this: the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Isn't that good? I had somebody text me this last week, and they said, hey, you should probably blah, blah, blah. And I went, you know, that's really good counsel. And I trusted that because that person was giving me some information in love and not in judgment. And that was cool. Think about this. We need to speak the truth in love to our friends, looking for the right time and the right setting to do so, because friendships are valuable. They're gifts that we should guard, prize, protect, and invest in an ongoing basis. Do you know that when you're friendly, you're going to have friends? It's just the way it is. It's one of those things that it's God's economy. But we can get careless and forget to invest time and attention with our friendships, and we have to guard that. We have to watch out for that. If we find ourselves without any friends, it is often because we've not learned how or been willing to be a friend. The best place to start is to be a genuine friend to others. Be an authentic friend. Go out for coffee. Listen to their story. Don't just tell your story. Be there when they need somebody to lean on. Be there when they need somebody, when they need help. Because friendships cost you. When I first met Carol, I didn't know how to be a good friend in marriage. You know what? She is my absolute best friend now. Because it took me a lot of years, quite a bit of counseling, and a good woman to teach me how to be a good friend in marriage. I wasn't a good husband to begin with. But with God and with the help of other friends who spoke into my life, I became a good friend. As we look at some things that help make us good friends, there's three things. First of all, I want to say this. The enemy's goal is to isolate you. Okay? That is the enemy's goal. If he can isolate you and keep you by yourself or, you know, just away in your house or just always working, he's won half the battle. Because his goal is to isolate us, because we were made for a relationship. And when we aren't, excuse me, in relationship, we're miserable. I look back on the 2.5 years of COVID and I go, wow, we gave the enemy a big foothold in a lot of ways during that time by isolating people. There's been quite a few studies that have come out, medical studies that have come out since then, saying how damaging locking everybody up and telling them not to be around people have been. And at the time they were saying, no, this is good, this will be great, this will, well, it wreaked havoc, especially on our young people. These guys were in school all the time, working, doing life, and then all of a sudden they're told to go home and be alone. Was that healthy? No. No. See, friends, we're going to look at three things. Friends spend time together. Friends talk together. And friends bear burdens together. Spending time with somebody shows that they're a priority in your life. And each of us is given a certain amount of time in a day. How many hours do you have in a day?
18 plus 3.
So would that be 24, Shirley? Okay. Aaron, how many hours in a day do you have? 24. Good. Thank you, Aaron. See, Aaron is making my point. We all, Kathy, how many hours do you have? A day. How many hours in a day? No, just in a whole day. Yes. See, all of a sudden, all of us have the same amount of hours. Well, maybe not. Riley, how many do you get? Okay, just double checking. We all have the same amount of hours in a day. But what are we doing with them? You know we're going to sleep for, well, Shirley gets 6. I like 7. Carol likes 8.5. And we know we're going to work some. We know we're going to go to school. So what are we doing with that other time? How are we investing that other time? Are we investing it in the kingdom of God? Well, one way you can do that is by making friends and being friends and being involved in people's lives. And when you're in school, by doing your homework. No, Grant, you don't think so? You know, I'm used to you guys all being up here on the front row where I can look at you. You guys have run away to the back. We need to get you back up here in the front rows again. We cannot use time as an excuse to not be friendly. There's a Swedish proverb that says this, and it's going to make my first point. My first point is that being together with a friend doubles your joys and halves your sorrows. Isn't that kind of cool? And the Swedish proverb is this: a joy unshared is a joy unfulfilled, and a joy shared is a joy doubled. In other words, when you can share something cool with somebody, it gets you excited and it gets them excited. That's what a friend does. Martin Luther said this: isolation compounds a sorrow. That's why it was so hard on people when we were locked up, when we were put away during those early days and months and years of COVID. Isolation compounds a sorrow, and left to ourselves, we interpret things in a worse light. When you don't have somebody to bounce stuff off of, when you don't have, and even Scripture plays into this, when you are not discussing Scripture with somebody or talking to God about things and talking to friends about things, we can get into some bad places, some dark places. That's why friendship is so important. That's why our relationship with Jesus is so important. He needs to be our best friend. As we spend time together, being together allows you to speak knowledgeably in the times of our conversation. If you don't know what's going on in my life, you don't know how to help me, do you? If I'm not willing to share with you, you can't speak life to me. That's why it's so important that we need to be together. We need to spend time together. Do you know that my wife made this abundantly clear to me? You need to spend time with me because it's in that time that we get good time. If I just give her 15 minutes, we don't ever get to being deep and talking about our feelings and talking about what's going on. And I can't believe I'm saying this because that's not who I was, but that's who I have become because we need each other. We need to spend time together. There are men in this church that I spend time together and I share stuff with and I pray with them because I need them. If I'm going to be a good leader, excuse me, I need good people around me that can speak truth into my life. Sometimes I'm wrong. I know, you're surprised. But to make that happen, you have to spend time together. You have to be together. Being together has a shaping effect on your life. You choose your friends, and your friends shape who you are. Different friends draw out certain parts of you that would never be seen apart from that friend. One of the people that did this for me was Jake. He changed who I was because he saw something and invested in what he saw that changed me, who I was. Other guys in my life, Ken Johnson was another guy that he saw something different that Jake didn't see. And he invested into that. He spoke into that in my life. But you know, the only way that happened was by spending time together. We need to spend time together to have an effect on each other. And it matters who you spend your time with. If you walk with the wise, what's it say? You become wise, right? And if you associate with fools, what happens? You get in trouble. And sometimes if your wise friends are doing foolish things, you still get in trouble. But walk with the wise, become wise, associate with fools, and get in trouble. Here's a good one. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Do you know what I've figured out? That if I'm around somebody who's kind of negative, all of a sudden I get kind of negative. It matters. It matters the people that we let into our life. Now, does this mean you only associate with? No, because we live in a world where God has put us and He will protect us, but the people that you spend your most time with should be men and women of integrity, people that love Jesus. And then togetherness, being together, takes planning and spontaneity. Carol and I had a friend, and she was planned out probably her whole life, you know. And, you know, somebody was asking her if she could be spontaneous, and she said, "Of course I can. As long as I can plan it, I can be spontaneous." But spending time, becoming a good friend and being a friend takes planning and spontaneity. You have to schedule time. Carol and I schedule time together. And then when we're together, we schedule things because she likes to plan. There are certain times that we get together every week. There are certain times that I get together every week with other people. I make it a point. I plan this time so that it happens. Do you have a friend that you want to minister to? Do you have somebody that you want to speak into their life? Well, then you need to plan that time. Because we all only have, as everybody figured out today, we only have what? 24 hours, right? Don't make getting together complicated, but plan, and then be spontaneous too. This friend that called me up he said, "Hey, can you blah, 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 tomorrow at such and such?" Well, I actually happen to have blah, blah, blah open. So we spontaneously got together and did some planning. Here's another important avenue as we spend time together. How about eat together? Or have coffee together? This church, you guys do really well. Most of the people that I know in here do really well. We like to get together. We like to be together. But you know what? How many times did Jesus minister over a meal? Oh, kinds of them. And He even got to lay down and eat. How cool is that? I don't know. But being something about food that kind of just brings the walls down. Lets the walls fall down. A cup of coffee. Shared meals help us to put aside tasks and talk with people. I love doing that. Second thing, talk together. Proverbs 27:9 says that the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. We read this one earlier, but spending time in conversation, engaging with each other. You know what? You can't just always do things and have a good friendship. Sometimes you got to talk, right? All right. And I'm going to tell you right now that this is not talking. This is not talking. You don't know the look on my face. You don't know the tone of my voice. And do you know that I've gotten in more trouble with this than with this? Because I might say something that you think I'm saying offensively when it's the complete opposite. We have to engage each other together. When we engage in conversation, when we work on being a friend, you need to be together. You need to look at each other. You need to talk. It needs to be a shared experience. Do you know how much easier it is to share my sorrows when I'm looking at you face to face? You know how much more fun it is for me to share my joys when I share with you and I see the joy in your eyes too, for me? We share in each other's joys, we share in each other's sorrows. Wise words build up and encourage us. We have to engage in conversation. And conversation often uncovers. You might be saying something and you say something and all of a sudden I go, Oh, I didn't know that. Especially when you're doing it over a cup of coffee or a meal. Things just tend to come out as you're relaxed. Because conversations uncover. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6 says this, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. See, a good friend knows that what he might be saying may be hurtful, but it's not for your detriment. It's for your good. Now, if I was going to try to befriend somebody, would I do that right up the first time I meet somebody? No, of course not. No. But if I've got a good friend, if we've spent time together, then he knows I love him. When two walk together in light, they have fellowship with one another. A good friend will seek to find out what's really going on in your life. What gives you joy and what's hurting you right now. And you know what? That's the kind of friend we need to be. Both. Sometimes I don't always know what's going on, but as I begin to share with Carol or with someone else, and I go, you know, this is what's going on, and I've got these feelings, and I don't know what to do with it. She goes, yeah, just like that. Just like that. Calming and peaceful. And so, have you done this? Have you asked the Lord to do that? Oh, yeah, that's good. See, I know that even if she gives me some kind of wound, I know that because she loves me, it's going to be good for me. Gordon MacDonald says this, there is a certain niceness to a friendship where I can be, as they say, myself. But what I really need are relationships in which I will be encouraged to become better than myself. Isn't that good? You know, a good friend encourages you to become better. Jesus encourages me to be more like him. Jesus says, okay, this is what my Father says. This is what my father did. I want you to be like me because I was like my father. You know, I love having Jesus as my friend. Do you know what? Sometimes he convicts me of stuff. But he does it to change me for the better. When we become more like Jesus and less like our natural selves, God has an opportunity to work through us and in us and help us to be making disciples. When we change, people notice. And we have a story to tell. What? Why? How come you're happy? Why are you happy all the time, Shirley? Well, how do you get that, Shirley? Can I ask him for it? You know, look at that. You just opened a door for somebody to Jesus. And then the third thing is that we need to bear burdens together. Sometimes bearing a burden is not saying anything at all. You know that? You're just there. I'm here. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. Let me help you. Let me just be here. Sometimes it is a specific action. Empathy displays that your friend's burdens are yours as well. Do you know what? Empathy is a good thing to learn. There's some really good people in here that do empathy a lot better than me. And I've watched them and I learned from them. Drew Hunter said this about empathy. He says it shapes the whole tone of a relationship. Without it, we trade honoring friends for one-upping them. We trade affirmation for sarcasm. And I think a lot of times men are more likely to do this than women. And then we trade talking with for talking at. And we trade listening to sorrows for changing the subject. See, we need to have a heart of empathy for one another where we don't do the opposite of what we need to be doing. Trust displays that your friend's burdens are not to be shared as news. I think we've all had that happen to us, right? We've shared something with somebody we thought was safe, and then they shared something they shouldn't have shared. Proverbs says this, that a troublemaker plants seeds of strife and gossip separates the best of friends. Guard your relationships. Guard your conversations. And then lastly, faithfulness displays that your friend's burdens are not the end of the friendship. There's been times when I've gone to somebody and I needed to say something about myself. And I wondered, will they still be my friend? Will they still have my back? And when you find a friend like that, you find true friendship. That's who Jesus is. That's the kind of friend Jesus is. He knows everything about me, and he still died for me. He knows everything about me and he still loves me. He knows everything about me and I still get joy that he gives. We don't stay with a friend for what we can get. Otherwise, it's not really friendship. You go back to that part of using or talking about them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." We need to learn to be good friends and to have good friends. Some of us are good at making friends, and some of us are good at being friends. But God wants us to be and make friends. Because I think that's part of that making disciples. This weekend when Carol and I were, or this last week at the beginning of the week when Carol and I were away, and we were talking about, our speaker said, "I believe that God has put someone on each one of your minds about who you are supposed to encourage and make a disciple." And he says, we're gonna pray for that later. But he says, I want you to be thinking about that. Do you know that when Carol and I talked at the end of the service when we were going to pray for those people, it was a husband and a wife. So I believe that as we've been going through this series, that God has been speaking to some of you about people that you need to be praying for and encouraging to become a disciple. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep them in your mind. We need to bear one another's burdens. I'm so grateful for my friends. I'm so grateful for this church. I've seen this church bear each other's burdens for one another. And that's the Lord. That's you being Jesus. I would encourage you to continue to do that, as Paul said. Because it all ends with this. It all ends with John 15:15. And I know most of you, and I know most of you are friends with Jesus. But some of you may not have asked him to be your best friend. And if you're here today and that's you, he wants to be your best friend. And we're going to pray in just a minute. But he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends." We serve a God who wants relationship with us. And we serve a God who wants us to have relationship with others to bring to Jesus. So let's stand. Aren't you glad he's a friend? He's a good friend. He loves us, and he wants what's best for us. Father, we thank you that you are a relational God and that we get to call you friend. And Lord, I thank you today that you are calling people to you all the time, and you're putting people on our hearts all the time. And I pray that, God, as we lift up those in our mind that you've given us to pray for, so that we can minister to them and be their friend and lead them to our best friend, I pray, God, that we would be faithful in praying and faithful in spending time and faithful, Lord, in reaching out. Lord, today, if there are those here that have not accepted you as their best friend, Lord, we give opportunity right now for that. God, I pray that at this moment that they would just repeat after me, "Dear Jesus, I love you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to help me to become a friend. I pray that you will bring me into more and more knowledge of who you are and how much you love me. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray now that you would walk with us this week, that you would remind us often of whose we are and that we have something that you've called us to do, and that is to go make disciples. I thank you, Lord, for this time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Say hi to a couple of friends before you leave, okay?